now 6 p.m. on May 15th. Thank you very much. And I call this meeting of the National Airport Authority to order. Roll call, please.
Chairman Woods.
Here.
Secretary Scheifele.
Here.
Treasurer Heath.
Yes, I am.
And Director Duquette and Vice Chair are both absent this evening.
Okay, Director Duquette will be along momentarily. That was
okay.
On the phone a moment ago. So, public input, please. Anybody in the audience? Okay, moving along. Minutes. So, approval of the NAA public minutes of April 27, 2019.
I make a motion to accept the minutes as published.
April 17, 2019. Does anyone second that?
Second.
Okay. Is there any discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Treasurer's report.
Okay. The numbers are for April are in. There's a couple of things that jumped off the page from a budgetary standpoint. One of them is the legal fees to that we didn't budget because we ended up using an outside firm, Shaheen and Gordon firm, to work on the lease between Southern New Hampshire University and the Airport Authority. And then the other thing that we believe was budgeted, just in a different month, is the shades, the new shades in the airport tower, $4,700. So those two things kind of drove the numbers for April a bit negative, but we're still hopeful to come in good shape for the end of the year. Our balance sheet looks good. Receivables are still as they should be, and nothing major is going on. cash flow issues. So that's all I got.
Okay. Anybody have any questions on
it? I have a question, not specifically directed to the back, but procedure of the policy. When I first came on the board, we were always using outside counsel. We were paying a good chunk of money. And we never used the council for the city. Then we shifted over and we were using Steve Altman almost exclusively. Now we're going back the other way. Is there a trend or is there a reason for that?
The availability of national city council, as I understand it, is as available basis. He is not required to do work, and Steve Attorney Bolton's availability was such that he could step in and do some, I wouldn't say some minor, but I mean, you know, lease extensions, some amendments here and there. But then when it came to time to do the full, you know, somewhat complex lease for the school, two things happened. You know, Steve was getting busier with city work, not the least of which is a Supreme Court case that the city got involved with. So he's been a little busy, and which is fine. That's what he's supposed to do. So to get our project done, we need to then hire an outside firm.
Okay, and I assume that would be the response, and
sure.
I think that we need to address this in future budgets, where we should probably assume that he's not going to be available and budget for legal fees.
Sure. Yeah, we're probably going to do that anyway.
Yeah.
I'd agree with that for other reasons, but yeah.
Any other questions for David right now? Okay, can I get a motion to accept the Treasurer's report of April 2019, or accept the financial statements April 2019, subject to audit?
Motion to approve the April 2019 finance statement subject to audit.
Okay, and I'll second that. Is there any further discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries.
Communications. We have two communications. One is from Maynard Associates LLC, National Airport, and the other one is 123 Associates LLC also, both of which are addressed to the airport manager, both of which address the same subject of entering the results of inspections by the New Hampshire DOT. Both letters are on file for inspection. That's it for communications.
Okay, so that brings us to the power report for April. In 2018, we have 4583 operations, 2019. Looking at 5,115 operations. So we're up 532. That's an increase of 12% year over year. And just to note, you know, the variance between 2018 and 2017 was 2%. So January year over year, we're up. February, we're off minus 4. March was the fifth jump, plus 33. And again, in April, we're up 12% year over year. So it's nice to see those numbers on there. Brings us to airport manager.
Okay. All right, Chris Lynch, airport manager, for the record. Recent events, none. Upcoming events, Groove and Seal Project. Nick will speak, Nick and Danny will speak more about the Groove and Seal Project and what's going on with that. We postponed it from last year, and we'll get into that in a few minutes. Upcoming events, Nashua Airport Customer Appreciation Barbecue, tentatively scheduled for Friday, June 14th between 3 and 5 p.m. Bring your stories, bring your appetites. Other items of interest, April 22nd, we attended the City of Nashua Budget Review meeting, myself and Chairman Woods, always fine, and spring cleanups have begun around the airport. You'll see Joe and Matt out there trimming away and mulching areas and cleaning up debris from the winter, and the place is starting to look pretty good. All he needs is a little bit of sun. That's really all I have to talk about. I guess the other thing I could mention is we're still in communication with Collins Foundation about the end of September, but they still have not finalized their schedule for the season. Any questions?
On record, Mr. Duquette has arrived.
Hello.
Hello, Joe.
There's a train.
Of course. Okay. There's no questions for Chris. Then that brings us to the airport engineer's report.
So Gail's administering
way back.
Sorry about that. Here,
Nick, want this?
This one? Should have it in here.
Here it goes, yeah.
Yeah, here we go. Administering three projects on behalf of the Airport Authority. The first being the Groove and Seal. Gail conducted a site visit with Indus, or formerly Seal Coating Inc., and Sir Lancelot to discuss the remaining work and the best methodology for preparing the sections that have peeled up to be remarked. The solution is to use a piece of specialty equipment called a that uses pressurized water to remove the remainder of the markings and clean and prepare the surface. In subsequent conversations after this was submitted for the board package, the contractor came back and requested to use a skid steer mounted steel bristled broom to try and scour the surface and remove the existing markings. I coordinated with Chris on that to get his opinion, and with the overwhelming thought is to go ahead and give it a shot and see what happens. We have gone to the manufacturer of the surface sealant, Asphalt Systems, to obtain additional funding from them to cover the additional work that's required. We've been going back and forth with them on application and time frames, discussing, you know, what the actual cure time was in the field. And we've come to a couple of conclusions. One, the product was applied in accordance with the manufacturer's recommendations. We've come to that conclusion because there was a manufacturer's rep on site prior to and during the application who indicated that everything went as planned. And the second is that we did all of the work in accordance with FAA's technical specification P608, which requires a maximum curing time of 8 hours. At a minimum, the cure time between when the sealant was put down and the markings were put down was 18 hours, 20 minutes. The bulk of the runway was somewhere in the 36-hour range. So again, we are looking to Asphalt Systems, the manufacturer of the sealant, to pay for the additional costs to prepare the surface for the second coat of markings.
Are they agreeable to that? Are they pushing back on that?
No, they're pushing back on that. But this last email that I had Farrell and Chris vet for me prior to sending to them laid down some pretty indisputable facts that you know, make it seem like the manufacturer sold a product that did not live up to the literature. Even in the literature, they show it going right down over existing markings. And in an email previous to the one that I had sent, they said, well, you know, we claim that it can go down over markings that are in good condition, not all markings. So,
do they have any specific language, any kind of performance warranty or anything that, or do they keep it nebulous just enough to kind of be able to?
It's interesting. They actually, thank goodness Farrell has experience in web design, things like that, because showed me a little trick to get access to the site. Their website, if you click on the GSB 88, you can't find any information. Farrell emailed me and said, hey, while it's loading, hit escape. And it brought me right to all the documentation that they didn't want us to see. So we got information that boasts a 2 to 4 hour cure time, which obviously we allowed that to take place, and we still have these issues. So,
what's the warranty? I mean, is there just the warranty? You know, I think just in terms of the strict warranty point of like, hey, you know, you put my roof on, it's a 25-year roof, you walked away 6 months later, it fell off my house.
Right.
It's like a warranty claim, right? Should be?
We still have the contractor's one-year warranty. But again, it's the contractor that installed the product didn't do anything out of, you know, they didn't cut any corners, they did it by the books with approval of the manufacturer. So I'm apprehensive about putting a cost
No, and I'm not saying on the like the business I'm in, like my vendors have a warranty.
Right.
And that's transparent to my customers. So if something with their product, even though we installed it properly, we still are able to go back to the warranty of the vendor of the product to do the claim. So I'm just worrying about that.
I have not looked into the manufacturer's warranty.
Well, so to Joe's point, I thought I heard in earlier conversations that the clock for the warranty actually had begun.
It has not. It begins at substantial completion.
Is that the warranty for the work of the contractor, or is that the clock for the warranty of the product? Because oftentimes I fall into this where my product warranty starts upon delivery of the product to me. My customer's warranty starts at the completion of my work to them.
Right.
So I think we're talking about the completion.
The contractor's guarantee has not started yet.
Who is the contractor?
Industries, formerly Steel Coating.
Okay, so that's our prime contractor.
Correct.
All right. I don't see what difference it makes, whether the Steel Coat people or anybody else. The point is, our dealing is with the prime contractor.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't care who pays for it, as long as it's not us. So we have to, I believe our position should be that this Indus company, just, I don't care how you do it, whether you use a broom or brush or get out there with a, you know, a magic eraser. We got to have a runway redone. We got to have it done. We got to have it done in a timely fashion. You want to fight the cost? Go for it. That's not our issue.
Well, so let me speak to that for a second. You know, and I apologize for interrupting. Chris and I visited with Nick and with Matt and Gail to talk about this very subject. And that is, you know, that after that, that is when Nick generated the note that laid out the exact timeline of what was done when, on what day, at what time, you know, hour, minute, based on, you know, based on not anyone's recollection of what happened a year ago, but based on field notes.
Yep.
So that is, to me, that is definitive. And, you know, it lays out that the you know, everything was applied in accordance with the specifications as we knew them at that time. But part of our message, as Chris and I were bidding, you know, Matt and Nick farewell, or Nick, I guess, in this case, is that we at the airport do not expect to have to expend one extra dime.
I guess that'd be my question. So right now, forget the what's appealing, what's not appealing, what's come up, what's the next step. Is somebody looking for a check to do the next step? Or are we talking about getting some sort of remediation done, which is an extra cost, or what?
So after the site visit with the contractor, where we discussed the best action, we decided on that water blasting technique. After that meeting, the contractor went and solicited some prices and couldn't get as good a price as 20 cents a square foot that the Martin's subcontractor indicated. The best he got, I believe, was 70 cents a square foot.
And I guess that's the point. Is that the point would be, sorry if I stepped on anybody, would be, that's great and you're pricing and great. You're my contractor,
yep.
Right? This is a scope of work that's deficient. Its performance is deficient. The outcome is deficient. I don't care what you do. You go source what you need to do it. You need to go back to your vendor who provide the product that's part of your package to us. And whatever costs are involved with that, that's on you guys.
Right.
That's just not like we're their customer and we're your customer, but they're kind of your customer too, right?
Right.
So like it's like when I hear that, because I go through this all the time, it's like that's nice and I get it. You're gonna have to spend some money, but you're gonna spend your money,
right?
Not my money.
And what I was getting at before is I don't care if anybody has to spend money or not. That's not an issue for us to worry about.
Right.
Our only worry is when is it going to get done. And how is it going to get done properly, period. I don't care. Anything else is beyond the scope of what we need to worry about on this board. You and your vendors and their vendors and theirs and that whole thing, that's your problem.
And it sounds like that's what they're saying. Like, we're going to water blast it.
I don't care if they water blast it.
No, but I'm saying they're going to water blast it. They're going to want to get paid to water blast
it. I don't care if they want it. If it's 20 cents, 70 cents, or how much they get paid.
No, I get it. But they're like, well, we need to get paid. Well, we're not going to pay you. Well, then we're not going to do it.
Right.
That's what's stopping me getting it done.
So the scheduling, to answer your question, that's sort of where I was heading with it. Right now, the contractor is determining what costs of the water blasting is going to be and what the cost of any other solution may be.
Can I interject one second, Nick?
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the things he's doing as well is trying to find the best method for removing the paint. We discussed the water jet, and then with some further discussions, they were saying, well, there's potential to damage the runway. Well, we don't want to damage the runway. So the latest idea Dave Worry came up with is to use a steel bristle broom on the end of his skid steer loader. And that's what we discussed a few minutes ago, that we would let him come and try that. If that works, that's great. So we haven't even determined the method that we're going to use yet. We just discussed this, yesterday?
But again, the financial burden is on the contractor.
I understand that, but my point is, we as this board can't tell you, we don't know what the best method is. All we can say is use the best method, period. And if those guys show up with a bristle or steel, great. That must be the best method. We're not going to second guess that. We're not going to worry about that. That's your problem and the applicators and the other vendors down the chain. What our problem is getting a runway resurfaced in a way that's compliant with FAA standards, takes care of it, and gets it done in a timely fashion, correctly. That's all we're going to worry about. We're not going to spend any time, figuring out what is, the water pressure, the bristle brush, irrelevant to us, as long as it's the best way. So that's kind of where I'm coming from.
Yep.
So that sounds like it's a work in progress, right?
Oh, it is. It's looking to work out.
Have we paid the final bill?
No.
How much do we owe? How are we holding?
We are holding back at this point 10% on all of the work, and there's still, I think, about $25,000 in
money. Okay, so there is a financial incentive for them to get moving on this.
Oh, absolutely.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. What is a reasonable timeline for us to assume project finished?
It is my hope that within the next 2 weeks, we have the solution ironed out, and then it'll just be a matter of scheduling work at the airport.
Which is going to be an interruption to the airport.
Yep. It was going to be an interruption.
Right, that was happening anyway.
It will be longer to remove the paint.
And how long do we have to close?
We don't know until we determine what the method is.
Right. My guess would be it'll take approximately 2 days to get the markings down.
Okay.
In addition to that, whatever.
Well, originally it was always going to be how long?
Four days?
Was it?
I believe it was five.
It was a 5 day
closure. A week, basically.
Chris, are you looking at the calendar coming up with some windows?
Well, yeah, we would have liked to have had it done this past week.
Okay, but tomorrow's the next day, a month from now.
But it's also weather dependent, right?
Yeah, it's weather dependent. So once we determine the method.
The paint is weather.
So for this year, we can't do it because it's going to rain.
We have asked the contractor to give us 14 days notice of when they intend to start. That way, you guys can get notification to tenants.
Yeah, but the contractor can't just inform us that he's going to tell us 14 days until he's going to start work.
No.
That has to be coordinated.
Well, I think, Bob, I understand what you're saying, yeah. But unless there's, a air show or calling or some big event going on at the airport, I don't think it's going to matter to us exactly what day they close. In other words, if there's nothing crucial going on at the airport, whether we close in the third week of June or the second week of July, or I don't think that really matters. So if the contractor informs us that we're going to be there, we can show up on June 11th, as long as we look around and say, yeah, I guess that's okay, then
right. And they're watching weather,
sure,
for the most part.
Yeah, but they can't watch it 2 weeks in advance. The first thing is schedule, their workload schedule. That's the first gate to get through. I guess the very first gate is figure out all this money stuff, but and the method stuff. But then once they get that squared away, then the next gate is when can they get it on their schedule. And then the next step from there is weather.
Well, weather, I know personally, I'm trying to get paving work done in my house since March.
Right.
Weather is killing it. It just keeps rolling it. So these guys, their workload is going to be grouped by weather because their weather is integral to what they're doing.
It's probably already been
compressed. Oh, yeah. I'm sure they're completely over the barrel.
That's something we... Okay, the process is get the thing on there. First of all, get them to agree how they're going to do it and what is the best way. Get it on their calendar, and then hopefully the weather will...
But I think to that point, they're probably not going to be able to give you a massive lead time because of how their schedules are intertwined with weather, with backlog, with whatever. I guess the point would be, what's a reasonable expectation? I think you said 14 days. Is that roughly a two-week notice?
Yeah.
So, means and methods, check. Roughly July, 14-day notice prior.
Do we have any clue?
Whatever.
Is it going to be July? Is it going to be June? Because I guess what I'm thinking is that we put some sort of communication out to our tenants, saying just kind of giving them a little overview. Okay, we're hoping to get this thing done in May. There's been some scheduling issues, and then we don't get any detail, but then say, we're probably going to have this thing done sometime in the month of June. We will give you as much notice as possible. Stay tuned. I think the airport should put out some kind of communication like that, just so it doesn't all hit them out of the blue.
Well, that's why we asked the contractor today for the 14-day notice.
Right.
Because we went through this before,
sure,
during this previous part of the project, and we were telling all the customers that
it's coming,
and it got to the point where everybody's like, well, we can't shut down for months at a time. And, you know, you try to plan on these things, and that's why it's difficult to plan it, because it hinges around the weather.
No, but what I'm getting at, Chris, is to put something out that's a lot less involved than that, and to say that this is what we're working on, it's coming up, probably sometime in June, and then stay tuned. We will get you as much detail as we can, as quickly as we can. Again, just to let the tenants know that this process is in the works. Then, when we get closer to the 2 weeks or whatever, then we start having another.
So June?
That way, allow our tenants to know that we've got their best interests at heart.
Exactly.
And if they have some major conflict with that,
right,
they will communicate that to us so that we will be in a position to speak intelligently about it.
So sometime in June, August. In June, August.
And I communicate with that, but
yeah, I know.
June, August.
Once everything is corrected and the markings are down, we can move to close the project out.
Okay.
There is the matter of the relocated hold position marking and sign. The sign has been ordered. We're just waiting for fabrication of it, and then it might work out with the time.
I was just going to say that
it might go in before the
sign and the at the same time.
Sign will be there before the strike thing.
Nick, how much time elapsed from when the contractor said I'm finished to the discovery of the project?
They finished May 25th on a Friday, and no issues were observed until November
29th, I believe it was.
Yeah.
So 6 months forward. So assuming all goes well, David's point is we don't really care who pays for what, it gets done. It's done on June the 14th. Are we going to write a check to them on June the 20th for work completed?
But
we know that there's a potential that they've not done them right.
There's 10% holdback.
Right. There is. So upon them telling us that they're substantially complete, we go out, do our final inspection. We schedule a final inspection with DOT and FAA. Upon that inspection, we issue substantial completion and punch list from that date. They have 30 days to complete the punch list. At that point, we can release retainage and issue final payment.
And that's when our one-year warranty starts?
From that substantial completion.
Okay. So we're still covered for a warranty.
Yeah, we just don't
get another.
Yeah, it's just like anything else. It's a warranty claim.
Yep.
And we don't have but the difference is that we have less leverage.
Yeah. Right.
But I think in that inspection process, maybe we take the broom out there. And I don't care if it's in August.
You put the broom on too early.
Well,
that's
what we're talking about. Oh, after when they put the new stuff on?
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah. Get out there on the final inspection and run the grader and run the broom. And pretend you're plowing snow.
Yeah.
Hey, look, you peeled it all up.
But, I mean, why not?
That's funny. That thought crossed my mind, too.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll worry about that later.
So, yeah. Are there any other questions on the?
I think we should go back to the beginning and kind of reevaluate.
Okay.
You're cute.
Project number two is the purchase of snow removal equipment. Milton Cat has received the grader. It is at their Londonderry facility. They are currently in the process of upfitting it with the required lighting, strobes, radio, etc. And I apologize, I did make a statement that it would be delivered by this meeting. but I misunderstood what the vendor was saying. It would be delivered to them by this meeting. And then I think a safe assumption would be 2 weeks to upfit and then delivery. So sometime in the next week, 2 weeks, you should be receiving your grade.
We should be able to drive it to the next meeting, right?
Yes. Once it's delivered, we will come out. We will make sure that all of the specified equipment has been installed and meets the specs. We'll take our photos, and then that project will be ready to close out as well.
Can you do maybe like an FAT at Milton Cat before they even drive it out of there in case there was any punch list items? They can knock them out right there at the factory.
We certainly could do that.
That might just be, yeah.
Okay.
A little easier, a little better.
Then we can go plow the runway with it to see how that works.
You can run it on the new sealant.
Well, I'm going to take it out there and take the old sealant off with the new carbide blade.
I will work coordinate that.
Yeah, it just might just be easy that way if there's, you know, something to, you know, playing tag, we're getting the tech out there, you know, here we go.
When it is delivered, CAT will send out an operator who will give a schooling workshop on how to operate the machine to all airport staff. I would like to attend.
Oh, yeah, we're going to be there.
I'm going to be driving.
It's going to be good. And then they will
set up the insurance.
They'll give you
whatever.
The operation.
Directions and manual would be in Portuguese.
Yeah. Let's open them.
So what kind of great Milton Cat swag do we get? We get like shirts, hats, like
it could be something.
Yeah.
Everybody gets to share the key fob.
And that's the whole update for the SRE project. Any questions regarding that?
I assume at that time that, you know, they're going to come drop off the new machine and they're going to take the old machine away?
No.
Oh?
Drop off the new machine.
Okay.
We'll discuss the old machine. We're going to find a home for that.
Okay.
It's going to become a dragster, isn't it?
Yeah, get Arthur Glantz.
Yeah,
get
some work. Park it on the corner. Sharon.
We can put it on a stick. You know, even everybody has taken a grade on a stick.
Moving right along.
Thank you.
Moving on to project number 3, the pavement reconstruction and maintenance phase 2. All funding applications have been submitted to FAA and to DOT for this project. The requests cover the base bid and all work alternate work items. If FAA cannot issue funding for the entire project, they may issue a grant to cover the base bid plus as much as they can of the alternate work items. We are coordinating with Continental Paving to determine a project schedule. However, this will be affected by the date that the grant is issued on. So we'll update the authority as soon as the schedule has been established. So moving forward, we requested a schedule from Continental. A lot of contractors are apprehensive about putting together a schedule and doing too much work until they have a signed contract. For that reason, we prepare the contracts and notice of award letter and send them around for signatures with the understanding that it's all contingent upon issuance of a grant, that no work can take place prior to that. And any work that does take place prior to the notice to proceed is not eligible for reimbursement. So the contractor will prepare their shop drawings, submit those to us, we'll get those reviewed, and prep everything to be ready for construction and grant coming.
Okay, so let me, I just want to understand the group that process again. So we've got approval from somewhere, right? Or do we?
We have the scope the grant application.
Well, the wish list and application
of
the file.
Right.
And that's been filed with whom?
And HDOT.
Okay, and when did they get that?
They got that April 12th.
Okay, and so is there anything that's holding that up that we know of?
New Hampshire has to file for the block grant through FAA, which their deadline was May 1st.
Did they get it?
So, yes.
Okay. All right, so DOT did their thing. They went to the FAA by the May 1st date.
Yes.
So now it's in the FAA's arena?
Yes. So they'll review the block grant application and issue funding. We spoke with FAA today.
Yeah.
And they had asked for some supplemental information on another airport project. And I said, does this indicate that a grant is forthcoming? And FAA's response was, the grant will be issued prior to September 30th, which is the end of the fiscal year. It has to
be. The cable company will be between the hours.
Yeah.
So even when it looks optimistic, they are.
Didn't we get caught up in a little bit of a whirlybird cycle? Was it last year before Congress or something? Or it was taking forever for things to churn through?
And that was with the SRE grant.
Yeah,
the grant came through like September 28th.
Right.
So the problem was with FAA being fully reauthorized, grants would be issued early, but FAA will not give any indication that they would.
Because in the prior discussions, we've kind of thrown around that shovel in the ground sometime in August.
Yeah, I do believe that's reasonable.
Yeah.
The block grant in New Hampshire traditionally comes out before other grants for other states that aren't block grant, because you know they have every airport in the state looking for a grant there, and it's an easier application to review because New Hampshire does most of the monitoring funding distribution. So last year, the year before, the block grants came in before the AIP grants.
Mm-hmm. So if you don't get anything until September 30th, does that mean that there's nothing happened? It's just this thing's just dead until
like you could likely get.
It would be weather dependent. We could do some of the work. I know the alternate work areas are smaller than the base bid. We could probably do something, but again, you run into the colder weather with paving and your finished product isn't.
So this thing does have some possibility of pushing to next year, next calendar year.
Yeah, I mean, there's always a possibility. And my experience would say that, you know, it's not likely, but yeah, there always is that possibility.
Okay.
Any questions regarding the pavement maintenance project? That concludes the engineer's update.
So, committees. The moment we have no committees going on, I'm going to bring this to the board business and Southern New Hampshire University's lease update.
That is old business.
Well, I was kind of hoping to have a lease to sign tonight, but that it didn't happen. The good news is it's imminent. There was worked over the last few things and major things that came up last week. Friday at 4:15. But we got through that, and we're back on the same page now between the school and us. And we're looking to the other leases that they have. Although there's no real change to them in terms of operations, we're going to time, as far as execution, and we're basically going to extend those at the same period of time as the project. So everything has the same expiration date, consumption date, and all that stuff. So, our main lease with lot 1447, which is the tower building, that lease is in really good shape as far as terms and the conditions and all that stuff that we've been working with. And then the other three leases are going to be just kind of tweaked a little bit, amended or whatever. And then finally, we have to do some lease. We have to, there's a couple of leases of between us and the school, and the towers and us that we cleaned up. But that was a punch list that came out yesterday. Which are a bunch of little minor things. And we hope to have this thing ready for us to call a special meeting and sign and vote on and sign about within the next couple of weeks. So that's the revised table as far as I can tell. Okay?
Thank you.
Anybody have questions?
I have a question. What did the outside council do for us in that regard?
The first thing they did was they drafted the lease in about 3 days, which was excellent. Because until then, we had nothing. So they were able to draft that lease within 3 days as a starting point to then be submitted to SNHU Council for him to do
his thing, which is basically tear it up and do it the way he wants it. But that's kind of that's typical. And then basically going through the parts where there were some disagreements, and other parts where there were some adjustments, I've been in constant contact with our counsel, every day, and I've also been in contact again with the fellow that I negotiated with on the initial term sheet, that we all did on the initial term sheet, and they've done a bunch, but I was very careful not to let them go crazy with doing a lot of stuff they didn't do. So, it's been managed. It's going to cost us, at least the retainer, but it's something that we need to do. Does that help out?
Okay. Any other questions for David? Okay, so that brings us to new business. I don't see anything on the agenda for that. Upcoming events, I guess we kind of covered that in the manager's report. That brings us kind of closing out our meeting now, so public input. Going once, going twice. Hey, director's comments. I'll start with Joe.
Nope, nothing this month. Thank you.
I've said plenty. Thank you.
I guess I don't have any additional comments this month either, but thank Dave publicly for being the point person on the SNHU lease issue.
Well,
because that hasn't been the easiest process in the world.
Get all the fun stuff. Save the thanks for when we're signing.
Very kind of honest. Thank you. So that's all I have. Okay. So at this point, looking for a motion to adjourn to a non-public session pursuant to RSA 918-3, Section 2A, the dismissal, promotion, or compensation of a public employee.
So put forward a motion to adjourn to a non-public session for RSA 918-3.
One second. Okay. Discussion? Is this a roll call?
Not to adjourn.
Okay, not to. Okay, very good. All those in favor to adjourn to non-public?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, we are adjourned to non-public session. Thank you.